to somebody here this morning. It says, if then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mine. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father. And your Father. Knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And this part in verse, the first part of verse 32, I really like, and I want you to grab this. It says, fear not, little flock. Don't let disease put fear in you. Don't let sickness put fear in you. Our Father said here, he says, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God doesn't want us to walk in fear. And there are those that walk in fear because of the things that come against us. And I understand those totally. But our Heavenly Father says, fear not, little flock. He's in charge. He's in charge. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, yeah. Jesus. Well, I'm going to do my best to speak on the Holy Spirit this morning, the miracle within. The Holy Spirit isn't talked much about in churches today. It's a broad subject, Nancy, and I'm just going to touch on it. I'm not going to get into every aspect of the Holy Spirit, but I'm just going to touch on it this morning, hopefully with the Holy Spirit's help. Do a good job, amen?
Yeah.
So, one night, a wife found her husband standing over their infant's crib. As she watched him looking down at their very first child, she saw in his face a mixture of emotions: disbelief, delight, amazement, skepticism, enchantment. Touched by this unusual display and the deep emotions it aroused, with eyes glistening, she slipped her arm around her husband and said, a penny for your thoughts, she said. He says, it's amazing. It's amazing. Just amazing. I just can't see how anybody can make a crib like that for only $66.95. Does that sound like something a man would say? And here lay one of the greatest miracles in God's creation. And all his Father saw was a crib. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. He did not see what laid within that crib. But he wasn't unique. Many times people look upon God's handiwork and only see the outside manifestations, never the miracle that lays within. We always look at people, don't we? We make judgments and we see the outward forms and everything, but we don't see what's happening within each and every one of us. We don't see that, and we miss the greatest miracle that's happening because we're so focused on what's happening out here, the obvious that we can physically see. Whether it's the miracle of birth of a new baby or the miracle birth of a new Christian. That's why we get excited when somebody gets saved, born again, right with Jesus. We can't see that work going on, but the Holy Spirit is there doing a work. And that's what we have to be aware of. That's what we should be looking at and realizing. I was witnessing to a guy this past week, and you never know how God's going to do it and how the Holy Spirit works, and he's a real Harley Davidson dude with tattoos all over and everything and always real coarse. And I've always wanted to witness to him, and he just seems so brass, and he's the kind of guy that really can intimidate you, you know, like, you say anything to man, I'll put my fist in there and, you know, pull your teeth out one by one. He's that kind of a guy. And I saw this the morning before I went in there. I said, Holy Spirit, I want to witness to this guy. I want to drop something in his spirit. Would you open the door for me? And when I walked in, I opened the door. The guy met me at the door, and the first thing out of his mouth, he says to me, he says, "Hey, Lynn," he says, "I got to tell you something." He said, "I'm just sad." He said, "My best friend, 57 years old, was a high or a school friend in grade school, and he just died." And instantly I knew God gave me the door that I asked for. So when I went and sat in the chair, the first thing I said to him, I said, "Jim," I said, "have you ever thought about eternity?" And then I won't go into it, but it's awesome to see God do it. And when I left that morning, I watched the Holy Spirit doing something with inside him where his eyes had swollen up and his lip was quivering. He didn't want to surrender anymore. But I tell you what, I was watching the Holy Spirit do a work. I was no longer concerned about the tattoos and the toughness of his voice or anything like that, but I was watching the Holy Spirit do surgery inside of a man, and I'm not done with him yet. I'm still fishing because I believe God is doing a work in a man that he wants. He chose him, and I believe he's going to bring others into that man's life to carry it, to do more planting and watering in a soul that is hungry for God. And that's what we need to do, to be aware of. There are many who see only the outside framework and miss the miracle that lays within what's happening. God's word tells us something very exceptional lies within each Christian. When we obey Jesus by repenting of our sins and being buried in Christian baptism, we have the promise that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you know, I want you to know, there's a lot of religions out there, aren't there? Muslim, Islam, whatever you want to call it, the Hindus, the Mooney Woonies, Sun Young Moonies, the Hooies and the Louies and all the rest of the isms. But I'll tell you what, every one of their small g gods are dead in the grave. Every one of them are dead. There's not one of them that are alive today on this earth. But we serve this living God that has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's alive today and forevermore. Doesn't that bring peace to your heart and peace to your mind? No matter what's going on in your life, no other religion can do that. They have no hope. That's why they're unending with so many different gods, because there's nothing to hold on to. We can hold on to Jesus as Jesus holds on to us. That's why I'm excited about Jesus. That's why when I share the gospel with somebody, I do it with confidence, because he's alive and he lives within me. Through the Holy Spirit. It says, and Dr. Luke informed us in Acts 2:38, he says, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." No other religion can say that. None. Zero. I said to a Muslim guy one time, I was riding in his limo. He was driving, and I asked the Holy Spirit to, I could witness to the guy. And that's how I said it. And all of a sudden, the guy says, "What kind of music do you like to listen to on his radio?" And I said, "I like to listen to Christian music." I knew that was my door open. He says, "What do you mean by Christian?" I said, "Do you really want to know?" And so I got to share the gospel with this man, and as I did, I watched the Holy Spirit break him down in his own religion, and he knew that he needed something more than what his religion was offering him, because I said, "I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he changed me forevermore, and he can go into your marriage, into your home, into your spirit, and change you too." No other religion can do that. But because why? Because one of the part of the triune God is the Holy Spirit ever working in our life. And I ended up taking a tract out of my pocket. And I gave that to him just before I left his car. And I said, "Read that and sincerely look at it." And he said, "I will." Because he said, "I need something in life." And I said, "Here's your answer." How many carry tracts? Did you hand out a tract this week? Opportunities are going by every day of your life. Your heart is beating, and the Holy Spirit isn't able to get in touch with people's lives. And the people, just the amount of people sitting in this building right now, it may not seem like a lot, but there's a multitude of people sitting in here. If every one of us are active and sharing something every week with somebody just once, we can change our world. It can start here. Amen? Come on, people, amen? We can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to do. See, think on this. The gift of the miracle, God the Holy Spirit, he is within you. Everybody in this room that is a born-again, blood-bought Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. Think about that. The part of God living within us, the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible thought. And the power that we let go by every day in our lives and we don't look at and call upon the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to realize that the Holy Spirit is ever present in our life, every moment. In fact, in Ephesians, we are told that God's Holy Spirit is the mark of God's ownership of us. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. He says, "In whom ye also trusted," speaking of Jesus Christ, "after that ye heard the word of truth." Who's the word of truth? Jesus is. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. This was possible because of the cross, people. Because of the cross. You notice there's nobody hanging on that cross. He's not laying in a tomb somewhere. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's alive. See, Christianity is the only faith that worships a living God. I'm going to say that again because we forget that sometimes. And it's even creeping into some evangelical churches today that there's more than one way to heaven. That there's many religions out there, and who's to say they're not right? I say that the Bible says they're wrong because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him," through Jesus. They're all wrong, every one of them. I'm narrow-minded. I'm narrow-minded as this book right here because I don't see any hope that any other religion can offer any man, woman, or child in this world for all eternity. But Jesus does because he rose from the grave. And whether you believe the Bible or not, that's your problem. You don't believe the Bible, that's your problem, not mine. But I tell you what, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it isn't so. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. This was possible. See, there are those who believe that the Holy Spirit is some kind of inanimate object, much like the crib that held that newborn baby. He's just there. Again, this, they see only the crib, not the miracle that lays within us. These people accept the idea that God's Holy Spirit can live within us, but they do not think that the Spirit does much. And that's true. Many times we don't call upon the Holy Spirit. We don't think he's active in our life today, but he really is and wants to be. Thus, they miss out on the miracle of what the Holy Spirit can mean and give each one of us. Every day, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is working in my life and guiding me as I walk out each life. Christ clearly states the importance of the Holy Spirit to each believer. This is what the Lord says. "It is good for you, good that I am going away," it says in John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus said that. Jesus saying that when he left, he would send his Spirit in his place, his power within us, the power of the church. Again, there's that living God giving us something to help us to make it through life, part of himself, the Holy Spirit. He's here. The Holy Spirit is in here today. And I'll tell you what, in spite of me, in spite of any of us, when we speak the word of God, God's word said it will not return void. It will get people mad, upset, angry, indifferent, or whatever. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do a work in them. They're going to be uncomfortable, and they're going to try to argue everything away. But I tell you what, that's when the Holy Spirit is after you. I remember when I tried to do before I got saved. I wanted to beat the guy up that was telling me about Jesus. I was a good Lutheran. I never killed anybody. But this guy says I'd go to hell if I didn't repent of my sins. And the Holy Spirit was really working on me. Every day I was on the road traveling, something was touching me and biting at me and saying, "Wow." And I knew, now I know, the Holy Spirit was after me. And you can sit in a church like this and the Holy Spirit can be speaking, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, the Holy Spirit's going to do something in your heart because God's word never returns void. You can try to kick it out of your mind if you want, but it's going to come back. It's going to come back because that Holy Spirit knows how to do his work. He really does. Jesus saying that when he left, he would send his Spirit into his place, his power. It's his power, the power of the church, the Holy Spirit. The miracle is within, does many things within our lives. Number one, he helps us to understand the deep things of God's Word. If you don't, you know something, before I became a Christian, of course, we were never taught to read our Bibles, but when I became a Christian and I asked the Lord in my life, repented of my sins and everything, I became a Christian. I don't know about you folks, but when I opened the Bible, man, I started reading that. And all of a sudden, there's like, whoa! I didn't know that was in there. I'd pull over to a park when I'd be out on the road driving on my job. At noon, I'd stop for lunch and I'd take my little Bible out and I'd read. Wow! I'd even call a guy at work sometimes. Did you know it's... I was getting more and more excited about what's in the Word of God. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit became real in my life, and he was showing me. He helps me to understand the deep things. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I don't expect a lost sinner to understand the Bible. You know, it's amazing how many unsaved people will quote the word in public, in the politicians and stuff, and even those that are got the name Reverend on them or Bishop or whatever, and they're on national television, and they quote the word of God. They totally take it out of context. Totally. I can't say whether they are saved or not saved, but I'll tell you what, by the way they take God's word and abuse it, I wonder if they really know. But as all I know is that the Holy Spirit helped me to understand a lot of his word. I still got a long, long way to go and won't quit until Jesus takes us home or comes for us. But I tell you what, I depend on the Holy Spirit to guide me as I speak into his word. The Holy Spirit is qualified to reveal God's word to us because he's part of the triune God. He knows. If you want to ask anybody's help, that's the one to go to because he knows. And then he helps us in our prayers. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who searches the heart. Did you hear that, people? Listen to that. He who searches the heart. There's nobody in here that says, nobody's going to search my heart. The Holy Spirit already is searching the heart of man, and he knows how to do it. He knows what is in the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not ours, but according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit helps carry out the will of God in your and my life. Did you know that? It's the Holy Spirit active working in us. Even when we don't sense him or feel him or whatever, he's doing a work in our lives. And then he teaches us. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. How much?
All things.
All things. It's the Holy Spirit that'll teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance. How many things?
All
things, yes. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Man, that's some Holy Spirit, isn't it? He's the one that'll teach us. That's why it's good. Don't believe the preacher all the time. Read the Bible, because this is the truth of God's word right here. This is the truth right here. Some people will try to ignore it because they're uneasy with it, but this is the truth. There's not a man alive yet that can prove any faults in this Bible. They tried multiple times, but guess what? God's word still stands, and it's still true today. Satan is all he wants to do is put doubts in the heart of God's people and steal what the Holy Spirit is already doing. The Holy Spirit helps carry out the will of God in our lives, people. And then in John 6:13, he says, he guides us. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Did you hear that, people? He's going to speak whatsoever he shall hear. Whatever the Father is saying to the Holy Spirit, that's what he's going to speak to your heart. That's what he's going to do. He says, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. John 16:14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. God's going to show us. We're his children, people. We're his little flock. He's going to show us. See, and that happens when you read the Word of God. There's a lot of people want to read a lot of books and a lot of other stuff and listen to a lot of stuff. But here's the importance right here. You need to read the Word of God if you want the truth. And make sure you get a Bible that hasn't been changed if you want to know the truth. I don't know about you people, but I'm really concerned about my soul and the soul of my family, friends, whomever. And I take it all very seriously. And I need to read the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, he teaches us. John 14:26. Again, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. He teaches us. He empowers us for ministry with spiritual and supernatural gifts also. And one of the most intriguing things the Holy Spirit was sent to do is implied in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice that the text says first that they would receive power. That's dynamo power. That's dynamo power. That's power able to reproduce itself is what it's talking about. Miracle working power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then they would be his witnesses, and not just for winning souls, but every other aspect of your and my life, we become witnesses for Jesus. That's what we do. That's why people say, what's it hurt if I do this or that? It hurts a lot if it's not according to the will of God. Or if it makes somebody else stumble. That I can't just go out and do whatever I want because now I say I'm a Christian so I can live any way I want and do anything I want and argue with these petty little habits that I don't want to throw away because I want to do them rather than being concerned that I'm a witness in the world around me. And that the Holy Spirit is moving within me. And I don't want to make anybody stumble or miss heaven because I want to hold on to some petty little thing in my life that the world agrees with me on. Ouch. We have Holy Ghost power living within us, people. The power of the Holy Spirit came first, then witnessing. Many of these people have been with Jesus through his entire ministry. They have been disciples of our Lord, sat at his feet and absorbed his teaching, gone out into the surrounding cities to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God was at hand. And again, Acts 1:8 implies that they would become witnesses after they received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why should they have to wait? Why not just begin witnessing right then and there? Well, they could have started, but they would have lacked the power to be effective witnesses. In other words, they could have started to witness without the Holy Spirit, but it would not have had the same power. Have you ever felt frustrated in witnessing? Anybody in here? Ever? I have. I felt frustrated in witnessing. People don't seem to want to listen. They politely put us off, and some not so politely. They have other things to do, places to go. I ain't got time for you. It can be frustrating, extremely frustrating. I'm convinced that the part of our frustration witnessing can come from not understanding the pivotal role that the Holy Spirit, the miracle within, can play when sharing your faith. Just like the man I was telling you about, I witnessed to this week. That could have been frustrating if I went in there and tried something on my own, but I trusted in the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, you open the door for me this morning, and I will witness to this man. The Holy Spirit does it really. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And I trusted, and God gave me that opportunity. Acts 19:2, Paul speaking to the Ephesus, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? They did receive the Holy Spirit after that. See, at salvation, listen now, at salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes believing sinners into Christ. At the Spirit baptism, Jesus baptizes believers into the Holy Spirit, as spoken in Matthew 3:11. He's the one. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said again in John 16, verses 7 and 8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. One of the primary responsibilities of God's Holy Spirit is convicting people of their sin. Not condemning them, convicting them. Because Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction. I remember how the Holy Spirit was after him. I was convicted in every area that I was thinking of that I was rebellious in. And did you know something, people? Whenever you witness somebody, they'll give you every excuse in the book that they don't believe the Bible, or they'll try to detract you into something like the woman at the well did with Jesus. And they'll try to distract you and why all the people dying in the world if there's a God and all this kind of stuff. They want to get it away from them. And I always bring it right back to them. I says, I'm not talking about all the people in the world that are dying of starvation. I'm talking about you. I bring it back to them because that's an easy thing to do. It's easy to answer that question anyway. This is a cursed world because of sin came into this world, and that's the result of sin, and that's why we should hate sin when we see the starvation and all the sickness and diseases and the poverty in this world is because of sin. It isn't because God doesn't care. It's because mankind sinned against a holy God, and that's why he sent his son Jesus into the world, not to condemn it but to save it. Amen? Jesus came here and he paid the price and hung on that cross for the sin that you and I did, our unbelief, our rebellion, and everything in our life. He hung on the cross for you and I. No other God did that. No other God. I'm going to keep emphasizing that because we get so, the way the church is working today, they're moving into the evangelical churches too to come under a one world religion. But there's only one way. It's the cross. It's the cross. Jesus went by the cross. And that's the way we have to go too. Whether you like it or not, whether you do it now or you're going to do it in eternity, everyone in here and in this world will bow before Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, we will bow a knee to him. It's going to happen. He said it would, and I believe it will. They mocked, just think, they mocked him before that he wouldn't come, and he came. And they're doing it again, and he's coming. All the way, you know what amazes me is that people cannot see what's happening in the world today. But you know something? When you read the Word of God, you can see it. This is like the up-to-date newspaper. And it's happening exactly the way Jesus prophesied it would happen. All the nations of the world that are coming together right now overseas against it are happening before our very eyes in a rapid succession. Jesus is getting ready to come. He told us what the world will be like just prior to he comes. We could never understand how everybody could take a mark. Now we can, can't we? Technology made that possible. And every eye will see him when he comes. We know how that can happen. Look at CNN, Fox News. When something happens anywhere in the world, we got instant sight of everything that happens. Can you imagine Jesus when he comes in the second coming, coming out of the heavens, and the cameras are on him, and he's coming down to the earth, and every eye shall see him. What a spectacular sight, and we'll be behind him. Amen? The rapture church already took place, but when he comes back the second time, it's going to be a spectacular thing on television. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, in other words, the church, you and I, we don't have to convict people. Isn't that awesome? I don't have to worry about that and burden myself with convicting people. I don't need to change their hearts either. I never go into witnessing thinking, man, I got to do all this stuff. I got to get this guy convicted and I got to change his heart. I don't do any of that. I don't do any of it. And with regard to salvation, that's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why I say, Holy Spirit, go with me into this witnessing situation. And he does. Is all I am is I get to be the mouthpiece, the person that God is going to use to plant some seed, to water, to whatever, into that soul's life. That's the Spirit's job. We are witnesses. In a courtroom, there's a judge, a prosecutor, a defense attorney, a defendant, and witnesses. A witness gives testimony in the courtroom. That's what a witness does. Do the witness prosecute the defendant? Do the witnesses convict the defendant? No. Witnesses witness. That's what we do. We witness. And they do their best to give honest and true testimony of what's happening in our, what's happened. Why? Because they realize that the verdict may hinge on how well they witness. That's why it's important that you and I read the Word, and we're in the Word, and we know when we come up against a situation in somebody's life that the Holy Spirit can bring His Word to life in our life. I've been in many times when I've witnessed to people when I'm amazed, because I'm not the brightest bulb in the place here today, but I tell you what, when I've witnessed, it's amazing how many times I'll get a scripture verse into my heart that I haven't read for some time, but boom, it'll show up just at the right time that I can put in somebody's life, because the Holy Spirit brought it to my remembrance, as He said He would, He promised in the Word. See, our only job is to witness. That's what we do. Convicting people of their sins, of the need of righteousness and closeness of judgment is the Holy Spirit's job. It's not your and mine. Even in our lives today, brothers and sisters, it's not my job to make you do what you're supposed to do. That's not my job. I can only preach the Word of God to you and allow the Holy Spirit to settle into your hearts and speak into your lives and to do the convicting or do the direction He wants you to go. But it's not my job to say, don't do this and don't do that. That's not my job. It's none of our jobs. My job is to witness the Word of God to you through preaching and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Not ours. It's not ours. Praise God. I thank God for that too, because man, would I blow it. Amen? Would you blow it? I would blow it so many times. But brothers and sisters, that does not mean our testimony is not important. It's one of the most important things in the world. We got to learn to share it. I even like it in the Scripture teaches that by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, are we overcomers. You know what my testimony is? It's Jesus. It isn't how much I drank and booze or took drugs or sexual perversion or anything else in my life. That's not my testimony. My testimony is I was once lost, but now I'm saved. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that's my testimony to a lost world. We get too hung up on all the sinful things we've done in our life, and we talk that into people's lives, and we probably put more of temptation in their life than we do conviction, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts. But I tell you what can fix our hearts, when you can stand up and say, I was a drug abuser, I was a murderer, I was a drunkard, but Jesus Christ came into my life and changed me. He changed me forever, for all eternity. That's what people need to hear. Not what a scoundrel I was, because the Lord would sit there and say, huh? See, He tells me He forgot all that stuff, and He put it in the seal of forgetfulness. Why bring it up? I was a sinner lost. That's my testimony. But Jesus saved me. I know that when I die now that I will go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's my testimony. That's my testimony. That's surety of my future. Isn't that awesome? That's what we want to tell the people out there. Without our testimony, without our witness, the world will not know the good news. Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Nobody else can do that. There's no other religion in the world that can come up and stand before you and give you good news about your future. Nothing. They don't know. Some promise it. If you die, you get the 70 virgins in heaven. Well, for crying out loud, for all eternity, what's 70 virgins? How deceived can you be? Man, we get tired of a new car within a month after we get it. After we show all our friends and family, the new car is done. We get our first ding in the door. We want to go get a different one. And that's the way it happens in marriages today too, people. See, nobody can offer you anything like Jesus can. Oh, man, I could stand up here till tonight and just get the tip of the iceberg and tell you how awesome it's going to be to live with Jesus. He died for us. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet. You may think I got ugly feet. You may think it, but God sees these feet as beautiful. He sees them beautiful because when I take my feet out into the world and I walk up to somebody that's dying or going to end up in eternal hell and I share the good news that you don't have to go to hell, you can surrender to Jesus, you can repent of your sins. God sees these feet as beautiful. He sees them beautiful. And I tell you what, that's what we need to do, people. Get excited about sharing the good news with somebody because I tell you what, that's what it's all about. He already saved me. I'm not satisfied just sitting in a pew. I want to go and tell somebody. I want beautiful feet. How many would look at your feet? Man, are my toes ugly? Man, I got bunions. My toes are all long and crooked. I got calluses all over my feet. But you know, once you start telling the gospel, when you look at them, they become beautiful feet in the eyes of God. They're beautiful feet. He created them for a purpose. We've got feet to bring out the good news. Notice the implication here. Unless someone witnesses, people cannot hear the gospel. If they do not hear, they cannot believe. If they do not believe, they cannot call. And if they do not call, they will not be saved. The salvation of people where we care about hinges on our faithfulness and witnessing. Our witness is the part of the good news. This is of such value to God that he regards even the feet of those who witness as beautiful. Paul realized how much he needed God's Spirit to be successful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, he says, "And I was with you in weakness." Did you hear this? Listen to this man. This is our brother in Christ. He says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." You can argue with a wise man all day long that has the knowledge and the wisdom of the world, but I tell you what, that doesn't mean anything. I tell you what, that wise man will respect is the power of the Holy Spirit, especially when it comes into his life and it's convicting his heart and soul and not knowing what's going on. The Holy Spirit can help guide us to people we should meet and talk with. The Holy Spirit can give us the opportunity to witness by word and action. Amen? The Holy Spirit will guide your every day. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to play Major League Baseball, facing jeering crowds at every stadium. He was held to a higher standard and often criticized and scrutinized, more often than the white players of his time. One day while playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error at second base and the crowd began to ridicule him. He stood at the base humiliated while the fans jeered. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie and stood with him facing the crowd. Robinson was no longer alone and the fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that Pee-wee's act of solidarity, the arm around his shoulder, saved his career and gave him the strength to go on. Isn't that amazing? A simple action, yet it changed a heart no Sunday sermon could do. Are you willing to be that arm of comfort in Jesus' name? You and I are called to go up along somebody and put our armor around them and tell them about Jesus, the good news, because there's hurting people out there. There's fearful people out there, and they're waiting to hear the word. They're waiting to see a Christian that is true and living the truth out too and not living like them. They don't want people living like them. They want to see somebody who is different. They want to see somebody who's really got faith in something. That's what they're looking for, people. Are you ready to be the light in the darkness in Jesus' name? We need to die to self and to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you do, you will be a blessing, and in turn, you will be blessed too. We as Christians are often held to a higher standard, amen? Even if we say one little mishap of a word that is worldly, the world will say, I thought you were a Christian. See, that means that your life has impact. Once you tell people, that's why when we give salvation calls and do it publicly, and when you go out and you share your faith with somebody, you put yourself now in open ridicule when you do that, if you want to. But now they know you're a Christian. And that's good to do. It helps you to walk the walk better, too. I realize it every time. My wife and I were sitting up in a restaurant over in Brooklyn Park several years ago, and I was sitting there in the restaurant, and we ordered our meal, and all of a sudden these two gentlemen walk up to us, and they look at me and they say, are you Brother Lynn Beekman? And I said, well, yeah, I didn't remember him. And they say, well, I'm so-and-so. We used to go to Teen Challenge where you taught, man. You still living for Jesus? And I said, you bet I am. And I shook their hand like I always did. I shook their teeth out of their mouth and let them know that Jesus is still Lord of my life. And they said, man, we're glad. See, they need to see that. They need to see us living the life day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, should Jesus tarry. They need to see you and I faithful to the calling that Jesus did, because Jesus changed me by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Hallelujah. I'm excited. But as the world continues to ridicule and humiliate, we miss the mark. Our God has given us the part of himself to be our advocate. Just think, he's given us the part of himself, the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, the miracle within, the God, the Holy Spirit lives within you and I. We can't forget that. He's ever present with us. He's always there when we need him the most. When you're going through the trials, when you're going through the test of life, when you're going through the ridicule and the jeering, you can call upon the Holy Spirit, and he will put his arm around you and let him know that he is the one who will give you the peace and the rest and the joy when you need it. And he's the one who will give you the words when you open your mouth, when you're fearful and not knowing what to say. The Holy Spirit, Scripture tells me, will give you the words to speak. The Holy Spirit wants to. Praise the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit gives us boldness when we need to stand fast in the faith. In Acts 4, we are told that Peter and John were arrested, beaten, and released, severely warned to never preach about Jesus publicly again. They returned to meet with the church, and they prayed. After they prayed, the place they were was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, it says in Acts 4, verses 29 and 31, and now the Lord behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We got a pastor in Iran right now that's in a jail, a filthy jail, a scum hole of a place, and they're torturing this man right now, and he's in illness. But you know something? He will not renounce the name of Jesus, because he's got the Holy Spirit inside of him, keeping to give him that joy and that strength to make it all the way there. He's got two beautiful little children and a wife that haven't seen their daddy for over a year because he's in a dark, stinking place where they're torturing. You know why they're torturing him, people? You know why they're doing this to them? Because they're so convicted in their hearts. They got a man who really, truly believes in Jesus Christ, and they don't understand it. They figure if we can torture him, destroy him somehow, he's going to renounce it and come to our way of thinking. But this man won't do it. How many of us will do that for the Holy Spirit living within us? This man is still there. It's our brother in Christ. And that's happening all around the world. No other religion. No other religion. Only Jesus. Only Christianity. I'm not talking about religion. Man reaching up to God, trying to do all the right things at the right time and say all things. I'm talking about Christianity where Jesus reached down and came down and hung on a cross. That's what I'm talking about, a relationship with a living God. Because if we don't have that, we will miss heaven. Likewise, if we let him, the Holy Spirit will not only give us boldness, but he can help us in creative ways to witness. Listen to this. Like the incident with the Salvation Army woman who was informed by a policeman that a local ordinance would not allow her to ring her bells to invite contributions. The next day she was out on the street corner doing even brisker business than ever before as she waved one sign and then another sign. The sign said, "Ding dong." A Sunday school teacher had taught her class to recite the Apostles' Creed by giving each child one phrase to learn. All the Sunday school presentation, the class was asked to give their recitation. They began beautifully. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," said Sarah. "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord," claimed Rachel. Everything went perfect, one after the other, and then there was a long pause. Finally, a little girl spoke up and said, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today." Let's all stand, please. In closing, has the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit been absent in your life? Has he been absent in your life? Do you need to be refreshed? Are you ready to be refreshed? If you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will be filled with the power, filled with boldness, and be overcomers in your life. We need to activate and allow the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to not be absent of the Holy Spirit. Empty yourself. Be filled and refreshed anew with the Holy Spirit. The miracle within you lives within you right now. People, we're the family of God. We're the family of God. Let's move together in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the light of the world. And together, we'll be taken from glory to glory. Amen? Amen. Christianity is an awesome thing to live out. It's beautiful. It's exciting. And maybe you're in here today and you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, and there's a tug at your heart. You don't know for sure if you died, you would go in to live with the Lord, or you would go into an eternal hell or go into an eternal heaven. You don't know because you're trusting in your own self. And your own self, you can't be trustworthy because the Scripture teaches us that our righteousness is but filthy rags in the nostrils of God and that our hearts think evil continually. See, the Holy Spirit wasn't here to promote a religion. It was the Holy Spirit God sent, Jesus sent, to form a relationship back that was lost because of the sin in our life. And if you're here this morning and you say, I've got this in my heart right now, everybody bow your heads. If there's anybody in here this morning again and you say, I need this Holy Spirit, but I need that relationship with Jesus, that can only happen first. You need to repent of your sins. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sinful life. And he says he's faithful to do that. But you need to come and tell him and confess it. If you're in here this morning, I would invite you to come up and join me right now because, see, I've already walked down this aisle in a different church naturally, which most of us have in here. But the reason Jesus calls us publicly, he doesn't want us ashamed of him either. If you're in here this morning and there's something tugging in, don't miss it. It might be your last opportunity because people, every time you hear the gospel and you do nothing with it, your heart gets colder and harder. If this is your day, I want you to come down. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm going to count to three. Raise your hand if you're here. 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. for salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want the Holy Spirit, just a moment. Don't be afraid of the stillness. I just sense the Holy Spirit's doing some work in some hearts. You can cry out to the Holy Spirit right now and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, I need strength this morning. Holy Spirit. Did you come forward for a prayer for anything? Okay. Don't go away. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to pray a prayer with me, but you believe it in your own hearts as you say it, okay, man? You just say it with me. Say it out loud, though. Don't be one of these guys and gals that just, you're afraid to speak out. This is Pentecostal church. We got the Holy Spirit here. Say with me right now, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Help me to yield all of who I am. All of me. Body, soul, and spirit to your transforming love. Break me when I need to be broken, and strengthen me when I need strength. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am. Father, I empty myself that you may refresh me with the Holy Spirit and fill me to the brim with the miracle. God, the Holy Ghost, that is within. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we need, people. I want to encourage you. Be active in your witness and allow the Holy Spirit. Call upon the Holy Spirit in your personal life, in your witnessing life, in every avenue, and watch how your life will change. And you'll have more joy, too, let me tell you. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, right now I would pray over this congregation that the Holy Spirit will continue to move in our lives, convict hearts that need conviction, and draw those to you, Lord, that need to come to you. And Lord, I would pray that you would bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ today, their homes, their jobs, their finances, their health. Let them walk in the power of the Holy Spirit this week and be witnesses for you. Lord, let Crossfire Assembly again be a church on fire, not for reputation, not so that people know who we are, but that we glorify you, the mighty God, the King of Kings. Lord, you are the only God. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you. Have a great time of fellowship and be excited about Jesus. Hallelujah.